This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to your window into the meaningful impact being made across the Catholic Diocese of Hamilton. I'm your host, Marion Green, and I invite you to join me as I talk with inspiring guests and explore how the Catholic Development Fund creates ripple results. Today I'm joined by the lovely Patricia Parsons, who is another one of our fabulous staff members at the Chanel Centre. But she's not here to talk about her role at our office today. She's going to share with us some insights about her role as a pilgrimage leader. So Patricia, welcome.
Thank you.
Perhaps, like some of our leaders, some of our listeners, sorry, I have never been on a pilgrimage, and so I have often wondered what this looks like and what it entails. So I have lots of questions for you. I hope you're ready. So what I'd like to start with is asking you to tell us, what is it that first called you to lead others on a pilgrimage rather than just going on your own?
That would have to be the fact that I did not meet other Kiwis on pilgrimage. So when I first went, I went with a London company. I was living in New Zealand, but I couldn't find anyone who would organise it for me. Mm-hmm. So I went with a group in London, and it was, back in the 90s during the Bosnian War, and I was headed over to Yugoslavia. It was called Yugoslavia at the time. And then a couple of years later, I went again with the same company and a group of people. But the third time, I felt very much called to be on my own. And it was during that visit for 3 weeks on my own that I felt called to bring New Zealanders on pilgrimage, Kiwis on pilgrimage, being led by a Kiwi, because there was just no one at home doing that.
So a gap in the market that you identified.
Big gap.
Wow. Good on you. Great initiative. So in your own experience, what is the fundamental difference between being a pilgrim and being a tourist?
Well, we've all had a holiday and we've all been tourists pretty much. And we have a holiday to escape, to get away, just to have a rest, sit under a palm tree, sip a pina colada.
Do some shopping.
Yep. And pilgrimage is not escaping from anything. You're not escaping. You are being drawn towards something. And you're being invited, called by God, I believe, to have an encounter with him in a special way. So it's not escaping from, it is going towards.
Yeah. Can understand that. So it's a special spiritual journey.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And a calling. Every pilgrim has been called inwardly.
Mm. So for someone who's never been on a pilgrimage, how would you describe the feeling or the transformation you see in people?
I always tell people that the group I take over is completely different from the group I bring home. It's like having two different groups. And so on pilgrimage, they are having experiences and things are happening inwardly that is very personal to them. But, they can unburden. They might be carrying a weight. They might be carrying a burden, a worry. And whatever it is, they look and feel different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the transformation I see.
So you watch that evolve.
I do.
From a slight distance.
And for some, quite early on in the piece, and for others, very late. But all of them have, that change experience.
Yeah. And what would you say is the most common misconception about people who haven't been on a pilgrimage? What's their biggest misconception about what it's like?
They have all sorts of different misconceptions, really. They think it's just going to be hard work and boring and you're going to pray all day, all sorts of funny things like that. And before you run a pilgrimage, you're preparing the pilgrims very well, as well as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pleasantly surprised by what is on their itinerary and what they're going to be doing and experiencing. So, yes, all those misconceptions fly out the window.
Wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about a typical day on one of your pilgrimages. Can you take us from waking,
quite early, I presume. The first waking moment with the sights and the sounds and the rhythms of the day to the close of the day.
Well, every pilgrimage site is different, and a lot of the days the itinerary is done the night before, because it all depends on what's happening that day wherever you are. Some are really planned well ahead. It depends where you are, you know, and others are very much a daily thing. But yes, we do wake up early in the morning, and you find that the pilgrims are ready to go. You know, we have early breakfast. One of the things that they hear that they love is church bells. Mm. And so you hear the church bells during the day, calling people to prayer, reminding you of the Angelus at midday, early in the morning calling people to Mass, you know, the local people. The pilgrims love to hear the church bells.
Yeah, it's not something we do in New Zealand, really, is it?
No, it isn't, and I think it's a mistake.
Right, because all through Europe, that's what you hear.
That's what you hear, and the silence here in New Zealand is a mistake. I would love to hear the church bells ring again.
Mm. I wonder why we've moved away from it here, but that's not a question I can answer, or you probably. Is there one particular stretch on the path or one specific holy site that you find yourself most deeply connected to, and can you describe that for us?
Well, one that's especially close to my heart is Medjugorje in Bosnia-Herzegovina, an apparition site. I've been there probably over 40 times now over the years and taken many, many groups. It's very close to my heart, and I've been there more times than anywhere else on pilgrimage. You have to go there to understand why.
Mm. And you obviously love it, so it must be quite exciting for you to take
yes.
people for the first time and share that experience and watch them.
Yes, and people say to me, don't you get tired of repeating it? The short answer to that is no, and the long answer is no, because it's like every time I take a pilgrimage, it's like the first time, because everyone in the group is a different person, and they're all experiencing, well, most of them are experiencing it for the first time. So it's like a first time for me.
So you see it through their eyes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, how wonderful. This is the Ripple Results, and it's your inside look into how the Hamilton Catholic Development Fund turns investment into impact. I'm joined today by Patricia Parsons, who has very graciously agreed to share with us her experiences as a pilgrimage leader. So listen up, you're going to learn lots. Now, pilgrimage isn't easy, Patricia, so is there a story you can share with us of when the journey was physically or emotionally difficult for one of your groups and how you worked through that together?
Well, every pilgrimage is different, obviously, and every group is different in how they handle things. So you prepare them as well as you can beforehand, and preparation is really important because they have expectations and you blow that out of the water. So they have to have the mindset of a pilgrim, not a tourist. And if you've prepared them well, then they handle, you know, things that may go wrong and inconveniences, they handle them well. So it's all in the preparation. And one particular group, they didn't even get to their pilgrimage straight away because we were delayed in Sydney. And they had to spend a whole night and a whole day in Sydney before they could even get to Europe. And they just had such a fantastic attitude. And they just saw it as part of the pilgrimage, and there was no moaning or groaning. And that's key, really.
Mm. And, you know, being the type of people who I imagine would go on these pilgrimages, they probably thought, well, this is God's way, and it's what's meant to be. It's happening for a reason.
That's right.
Yeah, so they got put up in Sydney for the night?
Yeah, they stayed at the Stanford Plaza. And I had two ladies on that pilgrimage who had got bank loans to come on that pilgrimage. And my pilgrimage was really reasonably priced. But these two Samoan ladies told me that they had got bank loans to come on the pilgrimage. And when we were in the Stanford Plaza, we hadn't even started the pilgrimage, really.
Yeah.
And they came up to me at the dinner table because everything was free there. And they came and sat down and said, oh, Patricia, this is the best pilgrimage ever.
A little hidden bonus. Yeah. Oh, how great. Now, I'm not going to say that there are mundane moments on your pilgrimages, but what's a simple moment that often holds the most profound meaning that you've found?
Yes, definitely. One of the simple moments of pilgrimage, one of the quiet moments where they can reflect and just be, I would say, would be adoration. And it's a very treasured time on pilgrimage for them. And wonderful things come from being at adoration. And I would say that's one of the most simple moments, or them just going walking, you know, just being there.
And if they've, you know, like most of us come from a busy life where there are pulls on your energy from all directions and demands on your time, and you don't often get very much opportunity to actually do what you want to do. It's always what you have to do, obligations and so forth. So I imagine just having that time to think and reflect and really look inside yourself. And
And that is not easy because, you know, we're busy, like you say, and we don't stop and reflect. Pilgrimage gives you that. And for some pilgrims, that's actually really difficult at first. But then they get into the rhythm and the spirit of it, and they find it to be so valuable and wonderful, they want to continue it when they get home.
Yes, I can imagine, because, you know, it's hard to switch off, even when you go on holiday.
Well, it is even for me. And when I'm taking a group, you know, it's very hard to switch off.
Because we just get on that treadmill and we're human doings rather than human beings. Now, some of your pilgrimages may or may not involve lots of walking, but to use the word walk figuratively, what do you observe about how strangers become a community on the walk of your pilgrimage?
They are all individuals that have all brought their own experiences, their worries, their cares, their sorrows, their joys. And it takes them a little while to get to know each other. And I always tell them, give yourselves time. Give yourself 3 days to really get into the spirit of it. And, you know, it takes them time to get to know each other. They're sharing a room with someone they don't know. All of this kind of thing. Everything's in the mix. And I say, be nice to yourselves and just give yourself 3 days, and then you'll turn a corner. And that's exactly what happens. And they get to know one another, and some of them are more able-bodied, perhaps. Some of them are, you know, slower or faster, and they just get to know each other's needs.
And then you've got your extroverts and your introverts. And
Your
talkers and your quiet people and
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I, as I said, I've never been on a pilgrimage, but I, in my mind, and for a different reason, liken it to a Contakey, which I have done, which did involve lots of shopping and eating and all those things. But, you know, you start off with 30 other strangers and you're all sizing each other up and wondering, who am I going to get on with and who am I not? And then, you know, as you said, after about 3 days, you found your people and you found the people that you enjoy their company, but also you have common interests. You know, I did my Contakey with my husband, and we didn't necessarily do the same daily activities because I was interested in different things to him. But
That's
he found
right.
a group, I found a group, and we'd all always come back together in the evening. And those friendships are really cool. They really broaden your horizons and allow you to see, because there were people on the Contakey from different countries.
Yes.
So you get to learn about different cultures and how they do things. And just really interesting experience of learning what other people
do
and what their perspective on life is.
That's
and all the misconceptions you might have about their country and they about New Zealand, you know.
Yes, it's very valuable. And they are all like-minded, you know, when they go on pilgrimage. They're a group of like-minded people in that respect. And so when they come home, they can share that together. You know, they've all had an experience together. They don't depart to different parts of the world.
Yeah, that's right, all Kiwis coming home together. And it's a really good starting point, isn't it, to have the reason that you've gone
in common. Right.
Yeah. Is there a particular encounter with a fellow pilgrim that has stayed with you over the years?
Some pilgrims repeat their pilgrimage over and over. So I take some pilgrims and that's it for them, you know, they've done their pilgrimage, tick it off the bucket list. But some pilgrims just love to repeat their pilgrimage. I've had pilgrims come back with me 10 times.
Wow.
So you get to know some pilgrims very well and they become very good friends because you share so much. You know that saying, what goes on tour stays on tour?
Oh, yes, I do.
Well, that's pilgrimage too. You know, there are personal things that stay in the group and that people share that are for the group. And so we respect that about each other. But there are pilgrims who repeat their pilgrimage and come back over and over. And that is, you know, I take that as a privilege and an honour to have them want to come back. And we develop very close friendships.
Mm. And I suppose they probably get something completely different out of each time they go.
Each time they get something new.
Mm. Mm. Wonderful. And so you'd have single people and couples coming?
Yes.
On these?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
All kinds. All kinds. Yeah, it takes all kinds, doesn't it? As a leader, your role is pretty unique. And would you say you were a guide, a facilitator, a spiritual director, or fellow pilgrim? How does that role shift for you from day to day?
Well, I'm definitely a fellow pilgrim. I'm the pilgrim's pilgrim. So in order to be one, in order to be a pilgrim leader and organiser, I had to be a pilgrim, and that was really important. So I walk the walk and talk the talk. And so I see myself very much as the practical, day-to-day organiser, the buses, the guides, getting them from A to B, travel, problems that occur, worries, issues, but definitely not a spiritual director. I take a chaplain, I take a priest as a spiritual director for them. And that's very important that they have that spiritual guidance because they have a lot of experiences and they need to, you know, be guided sometimes in what they're experiencing and what to do with it.
Mm.
That's definitely not my role. And a group leader can get in the way. You have to be very careful not to get in the way of what's going on in a pilgrim's soul. It's between them and God, and their spiritual director can help them in that way. I most definitely believe that you should have a group leader and a chaplain, and they have distinctly different roles.
Yes. What a wonderful addition, having a chaplain with you. That must be very invaluable, I'm sure. So what do you learn from people you guide? Have you anything you've learned from them that's changed you?
Yes, never presume anything. You don't know what is going on in someone's life, and you think that when you're with people that you may know them, but you don't. And so you learn things about each other that you would never have known. So I've learnt never to presume anything and don't judge anything or anyone.
That's a good philosophy for life in general, isn't it?
It is.
Because you never know what someone else is going through.
When you're got a short time with people, maybe a couple of weeks, you don't have a lot of time to get to know one another. So, yes, I've learnt to just have an open mind and accept everyone.
And they'll share what they want to share.
Correct.
When they want to share it. So what's the most important piece of advice or intention you encourage people to carry with them when they go on a pilgrimage?
They bring their own intentions. They've got things on their heart that they may not wish to share, but I know that they are all carrying something. So whatever it is that is on their heart, they bring with them.
Hmm.
I brought many years ago, I had a group and there was a young lady and she came with the intention to have a baby because she and her husband couldn't conceive. That was her intention. During the pilgrimage, all our cell phones pinged in the middle of the night and we learnt about the Christchurch earthquake. Her home was completely demolished. She lost her home. She lost everything. And when I caught up with her some months later, a year later, I found out that they were still building up their possessions in their home and starting again, but they had a newborn baby.
Oh, that's a lovely story. That's just amazing. Do pilgrimages that you lead go to the same destination each time?
No, I mean, I do have favourite destinations, mm-hmm. but over the years I have expanded a little bit. So, you know, I've gone to Fatima, to Lourdes, to Rome, to Assisi, to the Holy Land, Israel and Jordan, a wonderful experience. And so, yes, slowly built those up, but I am a one-woman show and I have to get out my octopus arms. It would be lovely to, you know, to be able to expand more, but I just do this on my own, so yes. I just do what I can.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, even just travelling with your own family, you would find some destinations easier than others, like Rome, you know, so busy, so many people, yes. Really challenging.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of organisation, and some places are easier because I've been so often, mm-hmm. and others take more organising and planning because they're not so familiar.
And do you have local people that you know then, if you've been there that many times?
Yes. And they've become friends. Mm. Yes. I have local guides who I know well, local people who live there who've become friends, definitely.
Wonderful. So for someone listening who feels the pull to make a pilgrimage but is hesitant, what would you say to them?
Well, I've been there and done that. I know exactly what it feels like. And that would be, you know, a whole other story. But my advice would be just pray. That's the first thing you should do, pray. And then it will be so much easier to make a decision. And then just go, step out of the boat, walk on water, and just go.
Have faith.
Totally.
Mm. And so how often do you take pilgrimages, Patricia?
I like to take a couple every year if I can, but you know, I work full time, so I have to fit them into annual leave and that sort of thing. So practically a couple. I mean, ideally I would like to maybe do 4 a year, but in reality a couple.
And they're normally around two or three weeks, are they?
Yes, 2 weeks usually, mm-hmm. and sometimes 3 weeks if it's somewhere like the Holy Land, Israel, but generally 2 weeks, because you've got to think of the pilgrims and their annual leave as well and the time they're taking off.
Yeah, of course we don't all have, you know, pockets of money that don't require us to have a labour of love that we go to every day.
True.
So having led so many journeys, what continues to surprise you about this work?
Well, when I take people, everyone is a unique individual. So taking the groups is like taking the first group. It's always different and always new. And the stories and the conversions, experiences, and the wonderful experiences the pilgrims have continues to surprise me, because there are so many different ways God speaks to them.
And even though you've seen it before, seeing it through someone else's eyes, it's really unique, isn't it?
It is. And I'm continually surprised by how many ways God finds to touch a soul.
Yeah. Are the pilgrimages that you do aimed at any particular age group?
No, they're not. They're for anyone. But the older age group tend to come on them more because they have, you know, they have the time and the freedom. But I'm happy to take any age group. It doesn't, you know, bother me.
Do you get any family groups coming?
Yes, occasionally I do. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, obviously for practical reasons, not all the time. But yes.
Okay, wonderful. Gosh, I could talk to you for hours about this. But if anyone is listening and wondering how they could engage with you about some future pilgrimages that you might be looking to do, how would they go about contacting you?
Well, I have a website, and so the address is quite simple, pilgrimage.nz.
Oh,
so they can go there and they can just see any up-and-coming pilgrimage I'm doing. I'll have it there, and just a little bit about them.
Okay, and then you meet with them before?
I can do. Some pilgrims are local. I'm happy to meet with them. Others, chatting on the phone.
Mm.
But I do what I can to answer all the questions.
So your pilgrims come from all around New Zealand?
Yes, countrywide. I advertise in all the parishes. They come from all over the country.
Are you the only person in New Zealand that does this?
In this way, yes.
Right. And obviously word gets around at how wonderful you are at doing it too, I would say. Imagine. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Patricia. As I said, I could talk to you for ages about this because it's something that interests me, having never experienced it myself, and maybe one day I'll be fortunate enough to come with you on one of your
pilgrimages. That would be lovely.
You say that now. But thank you for giving the listeners such an informative insight into what the journey of a pilgrimage might look like. Making a pilgrimage to a holy place is not something everyone gets the opportunity to do, but I thank you for creating an opportunity for more people to do it more often. And thank you for everything you do, and I wish you well with your future endeavours. I'm sure you've sparked interest from many of our listeners, and who knows, you might be leading your next pilgrimage sooner than you think. Demand, supply and demand. So thank you very much, Patricia. Go well.
Thanks, Marion.
Thank you for joining us today on Ripple Results. Catch us next time when I will be talking with another inspirational guest about their role and aspirations made possible by the Catholic Development Fund. You can find us wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and if you wish to contact us, you can go to www.cdfhamilton.org.nz or give us a call on 0785 66989.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.